10 years ago, but in the future this day. But I believe the answer to the problem that we're having in this country, we have a lot of people that's running for president in our country, the Democrats, the Republicans, but they don't, no one have the right answer to what's wrong with our problems. Our problem is too complex for one person to answer what's wrong. They have a lot of good ideas about how to correct our country. But the problem with our country is we have forgot God. And that's the reason we have the problems we have. I think God is showing our country exactly in a natural way exactly what's wrong with our country. Well, fire and floods and tornadoes and hurricanes and droughts that we have across our nation, God speaking to our nation. Always before God judged the nation Israel, he had always afflict the land. God is afflicting our land across our nation today. He said, I want to get your attention. I'd like to get your attention. But yet they won't let little kids bow their head in prayer in school. They won't let them have any knowledge of Jesus Christ. And you see what's happening up there on Ground Zero where the Trade Center was. They will have no clergymen. They will have no religious leaders of no kind as of right now. They do not want to acknowledge God in any type of way in our country. But I tell you, the answer I really do believe what's going to happen is praise. I know we need to pray for our country. But the answer to our nation and to our life and to this church, to our families, and also a personal way is prayer. 9/11, 2001, 10 years ago, the terrorists attacked and they killed more people that day than they did at Pearl Harbor when it was attacked by the Japanese forces. And almost as many as Revolution Independent as we fought for our freedom. But this is a never-ending war. This war did not start at 9/11. This is a never-ending war. Just because we have took the war to a foreign part, it's called the country of Iraq and Iran and all these other foreign countries that we're trying to Afghanistan. But that is really not where the war started at. 9/11, it was not the starting place. It started many years ago. In Genesis chapter 25, we'll find that that started because of old Abraham. God called Abraham. He said, Abraham, you're going to be the father of many nations. There'll be many nations, Abraham, that's going to call you father. Well, we know that Abraham was going to be promised a son. And as you turn to our power of praise, it'd be on 147 of Psalms 1 through 12, but I'm just going to fill you in on some history of when this war started. People do not understand it. This is a religious war that we're in. The Islamic faith is against what you and I stand for today because we stand for Jesus Christ. They always will be against us. They always have been against the people that believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, we know that Abraham was a father of many nations. Abraham was promised a son, but he ran ahead of God. He had a handmaid named Hagar. She bore a son from Abraham named Ishmael. Now, Ishmael was after the falling flesh. But also later on that God promised him a son, and he did have a son. And what was Abraham's son by the promised seed? His name was Isaac. Isaac married Rebekah. Rebekah had twins. That was Jacob and Esau. Jacob and Esau. Esau is an Edomite today. Now we know that before it began, Abraham is a father of the Ishmaelites. Abraham is a father of the Jews. Abraham is a father of all Christians by faith. That takes care of probably 90% of the people in the world today. Looks back to Abraham. He has three different types of seed, we would call it. You and I today, he is our father by faith, the Bible says. But see, the Ishmaelites also believe that Abraham was their father. They have a right to that land that Israel's sitting on today because they was 12 sons also of Ishmael. The 12 sons of Ishmael and the 12 sons of Jacob, there's a war going on. And this war going on now is called the War of Islam. This Islam, that's the people that came there from Esau and Ishmael's side. There'll be a never-ending war. This war 10 years ago, and we think we got the upper hand of them, we will never have the upper hand. It's always going to be an unending war because it's been started way back in Genesis chapter 25 when this happened. Malachi in chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 says, I love Jacob and hate Esau. He's not talking about hating a person. He's talking about a national of people, the way that they believe. He says Esau is a people that's without God. They do not believe in God. And then they have a person named Jacob that believes in God. The war that you and I also are in today, you are in a never-ending war. And this same thing I'm telling you today is a spiritual war and a flesh war. Whenever you were saved, a fight began to tear out into your soul, into your body. And it was a never-ending war. In this never-ending war, you have a Jacob and you have an Esau. Jacob represents the spiritual side of you that God gave you. But you see, Esau is that falling nature that you came from Adam all the way back from the Garden of Eden. Whenever he fell, you fell. So you have a never-ending war inside of you this day. Every born-again Christian has this war. They're always going to be fighting. You'll never win this war until you leave this earth out of this body today. But on the same hand, we have this same war going on today in the world. Esau and Jacob, it's a never-ending war. It is a religious war because one believes without God, one believes with God. Now it says that we are the flesh, that is Esau, and we are spiritual, that is Jacob. Now the war has been going on for years. Well, why did it hit the United States? What's happening whenever we live this country for years and years and years, and you see, we have not had a torn war states except when we had our civil war. Well, what's happening? Well, this religious war that we're in today, this never-ending war today, the Islamic, you know what? They're growing faster in a religion than any other religion in the world. It's the fastest growing religion of all religions of the world. And it's the second fastest growing religion in the United States of America. Wonder why? Islam, because of what it means today. Islam, you ever heard the word Muhammad? Muhammad was a prophet that came alongside. Now, he's supposed to be just like Jesus Christ. Most people believe that Jesus Christ was just a good prophet. He was a good man. He was a good teacher. Just like the Islamic believe that their man had a prophet named Muhammad, and he does the same thing that Jesus done. He was a leader of that religious circle that we know of today. He began the belief. And also, you know, the Quran, that is their Bible. The Quran, later on it was introduced as their Bible, and that's where they get their justification, you know, to accomplish their goal that they have in this world today is from the Quran. And say, have their leader, it's called Muhammad. By the way, his bones are still in the grave, and our Savior Jesus Christ is risen from the grave, and that makes the difference in our religion today. But Muhammad is their great prophet, and we have this Quran is the Bible that they believe in where they get their accomplishment, their goal, and then they have a God, and their God is called Allah. Is that the same God that we call God? No, it's not the same God that we call. A lot of people say, well, they believe in God, we believe in God, Mormons believe in God, Jehovah's Witnesses believe in God, all religion in the world, they believe in God. But I'm telling you today, it's not the same God. It's not the same God. Understand that. Believing in God, you will not go to a place called heaven if you just believe in a God. It's got to be Jesus Christ. And this is, separates the difference, and this is where the war has begun. And I want to tell you, this world's going to be in war. The Bible says there'll be wars and rumors of wars, and this is one of the reasons because of this right here today. There always going to be war. Allah, their God. And then they had the jihad. You know, the jihad is a holy war to advance the cause of Islam. That is what they're doing. That is to advance their cause around this world today, and they're making their focus on this country today because we are the great Satan. Why are we the great Satan? Why are we infidels that they call us today? And no matter what anybody tells you, the Islamic faith is a faith that wants to do away with you and I today because we are the people that's against their religion today because we do not believe in their Allah. We do not believe in Muhammad. And if you don't believe the way they believe, they will put you to death believing that they're doing God a favor. The Bible says there'll come a day at the end of time when people will kill you thinking they're doing good for me, but they're not doing good for the God that you and I know. They think they're doing good for their God. And it's called their jihad, the war to advance the cause of Islam. That means to drive out all the infidels. Islam means submission to Allah. Just like we say we are Christians. When you say today, if you are a born-again child of God today, if you consider yourself a Christian today, that means that you're supposed to be now, that you're supposed to be now, submission to the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Whenever they say Allah, that means they are subject to Allah, their God. Now, they practice this Quran, and they practice all this being obedient to their Quran, like we should be obedient to our Bible this day. The Islam, they practice this. Now, where warfare, the people is against the Quran. That's the reason we have warfare. That's the reason they want to put an end to this country. That's the reason they crashed those planes in the Trade Center building and killed all those people, because they done their God Allah a great, great favor by doing that. They done away with all these infidels today. And as you see, it's a never-ending war. The war that we're fighting. Now, our military, although that we're the strongest military right now in the world, how long we'll be, I do not know. We have the greatest Navy in the world, the greatest Air Force in the world. We have all type of atomic weapons in our country this day. We all have all type of missile warfare and bombs. We have the greatest military machine, the power of the world has ever known, that you and I live in this country this day. But I'm going to tell you, what has happened to the United States is still not strong enough military to keep you and I safe, because it is a religious war. And I say you cannot kill an idea with all the bombs we have in this world, and that's the reason we continuously fight. But they do not know the answer to the problem we're having this day. But I brought you here this day to tell you that the answer is in the Word of God. Why are we having these problems today, and what's wrong with our country, and how are we going to have a defense against what's happening in our world today? It says there in Psalms 80 in verses 12 and 13, you need to turn, I'll read it for you, what's happening and the reason it happened today. In Psalm 80 and 12 it says, "Why hast thou then broken down her hedges?" This is a nation of Israel. When the nation of Israel was cast away, whenever the country come in and spoil the nation of Israel and carry them into captivity, and the psalm says, "Why hast thou broken down her hedges so that all they that pass by may pluck her?" This is the nation of Israel parallel with us today. I want to tell you from absolutely authority of the Word of God and the history that we have lived in our country, that God Almighty, whether you believe in God or not today, but God Almighty put a hedge around this country. It's called the United States of America, and the reason that we have been free these many years is because of our God has protected the borders of our country, and he's put a hedge up about it, and no other country has been able to come into our country. But I want to tell you, when we dismiss God off the throne of our country, when we get God out of our schools and out of our government, we just about got God out of our homes and out of our churches today. People don't really reverence God today. And I want to tell you what's happening. God has took the hedge down in our country, and that is the reason that those planes were able to crash into those Trade Center buildings and kill all those people, because the hedge was down. Well, who took it down? God took it down. And then it says in verse 13 of Psalm 80, "The boar out of the woods doeth waste it, and the wild beasts of the field do devour it." Think about this now. We find out that God put up a hedge. You believe in hedges around you? You read the book of Job, and the devil tried to get to Job, and he says, "I can't get to Job. If I could get to Job, I tell you, he would curse you to your face, God, but I can't get to Job because you got a hedge about him." He says, "Take that hedge down, and I'll do anything I want to, and he will curse you to your face." God says, "I'll take the hedge down, do anything you want to, but you can't mess with his soul." And you know the story about throughout Job, he suffered more than any other person. But when did he start suffering? When God took the hedge down. I'm telling you what, God has took the hedge down in our country. He took the hedge down in Psalms chapter 80, verse 13, in the nation of Israel. He said, the boar out of the woods waste it. The wild beasts of the field do devour it. What's happening? You and I, most of us, we have grown up in a farming community. We understand what it is to have a field with wild hogs. Whenever I was young, you had a field, you put a fence up, not to keep your animals in, but you put a fence up to keep the animals out. But wild hogs would tear into our fields, and they'd eat up your corn, and they'd eat up your peanuts. But they were not satisfied to tear down a stalk of corn. They were not satisfied to eat a little top of the green grass off the top of it. They want to root and destroy the roots of that plant. And they would tear up and they would destroy the roots. They would root up the peanuts. They would root up the corn. They would destroy because they were not satisfied with the fruit thereof. They wanted the roots thereof. And it says the wild boars. You know what's happening in our country today? I'm going to tell you the foreign powers of the world today, the Islamic faith is coming into our country because the hedge is down. And I'm telling you, they're not satisfied with just the fruit that we have of this land, stripping this land of all of our natural resources, stripping this land from all of our wealth we have, and carrying it to our rich oil nations across the sea. Every bit of this, all this oil price we have today, it's not a thing in the world, but the hedge is down, and we're sending all of our natural resources, all of our money, everything over to a foreign country. And those foreign countries are led by the Islamic faith today, and their desire to use our money and to take our money, our fruit, and destroy our roots of this country. And that's exactly what's happening today. The roots of our country is being destroyed even right before our eyes today. That's the hedge that God has said that I have put up. And then it says, you know, as we go on down to find out this hedge is the nation of this world, as we think about this, your family also have the hedge. And we wonder today, because of the foundation of our country, the foundation now of our social impact upon our country, families are being destroyed this day. Why? I won't tell you why. Because they don't believe in the Word of God anymore. This right here is the Judeo-Christian ethics that this country was founded on. Everybody has not been perfect in their life, but they believe in this Word of God. This Word of God is called the King James Version Bible. It stood the test over many hundreds of years. I'm going to tell you, through the school system that I went through, and many of you, they had this Bible and it was read by the teacher because it was all right to do so. They had a pledge of allegiance. They believed in God Almighty. And I'm going to tell you what, this was the foundation of this country. Why? Because this represents God Almighty, this book that I hold in my hand this day. But I'm going to tell you, this book has been thrown away. Parents today do not even believe in the Word of God. They get upset because the Ten Commandments are not on the schoolhouse. They get upset because the Ten Commandments is not in the halls now of all the courthouses. But I'm going to tell you, the Ten Commandments is not even practiced in homes today. It's called Christian people today. You know what's wrong and why we have so much trouble in our country and our families today? Because the hedge is down in our family today. We're number one in a lot of things. We're number one in divorce rate. We're number one in drugs in this country this day. We're number one in a lot of things. Why? Because I'm going to tell you, the hedge is down in our country. The hedge is down in our family, and the hedge is down in our individual's life, because we will not do what God says to do. And God says, if you don't keep my word with the nation of Israel, goes into the land, he said, I'm going to tell you what, I'll take it away from you and I'll let someone else have that land. That's exactly what he done over and over and over again. I'm telling you this day that our land is being evaporated right before our eyes. We may sit in the same place that we was raised, but I'm going to tell you what, all the goodness of this land is being evaporated because people that claim to know Jesus Christ have turned their back on God. It's not the dope addicts today. It's not the Islamic faith that's causing our trouble today. I'm going to tell you, it's the people that's called by my name. They will not humble themselves. They will not seek God's face and turn from their wicked ways. And God says, I will not heal your land. That's the problem that we have today. Today, I'm going to tell you what, I believe that God looked at this world today that you and I are living in and seen this little old country today. And I believe it was divine, protected by God throughout these many years today. Israel and the United States today. In verse 12 again, it says, all that people do pluck her up. nation resources we have has been given away. All of our natural resources of our country have been gone to other countries, and we have helped build other nations, but yet ourselves, we have let our country go down, the foundation. Help, it says, in that Psalm 80, drop down another verse, and it says in verse 14, return, we beseech thee, O God of hosts, look down from heaven and behold, and visit this vine. Now, as God would look down and visit this vine, he visited the nation of Israel and brought them back in 1948, and by the nation after they'd been away for 1,500 years, God will bring us back if we would look towards God. Now, in this Psalm 147, I'm going to tell you what, there's power in praise. There's power in praise. And it begins in Psalm 147, where I get my text from this morning. I don't like but another hour and a half, and I'll be finished. And the text says that, you know, it starts off with command. Praise ye the Lord. That is a command to the nation of Israel. It's one that believes in Jesus Christ. It's Jehovah God is their God. It's to you and I today. It is a command to every born again child of God that claims to know Jesus Christ. If you think you're on your way to heaven today, that you've been born again by the righteousness of Jesus Christ, it says a command. It says praise. It means hallelujah to the Lord God Almighty. Today, if you don't learn how to praise, I'm telling you what, you're helping out with this war today. Begin with a command of God. It's not a suggestion. It's not a request. It is a divine direction for our nation is to praise God. How are we going to get out of this mess? We're going to pray our way out, or we're going to praise our way out, but we're not never going to fight our way out through our military. You're not going to fight your way out through Washington, D.C. and all the council that we have, all the congressmen we have. I'm going to tell you what, whenever they stand side by side, hand to hand, they can't even reach a collusion today, but I'm going to tell you what God says. I've got a divine way for you today, and that is for you to start praying and you to start praising me and understand who I am, God, the great God, Jehovah God. Did you understand this is our God? If we ought to do anything, we ought to praise the name of Jesus Christ today. Praise is what praise is going to do. It's going to help us today. We need a divine direction from God, because all those great Republicans, every one of them, will be better than what we got squatting on our throne today. Every one of them will be better. Don't matter which one it would, I'd vote for any of them against this thing we call today a president. He's an Islamic man. He's put everything in the way that he could to help the Islamic faith out. But I'm going to tell you, no matter who we did have, all those people, they ain't got no idea what's going to happen. We need a divine authority from God to go what direction that we need to go in, and that's back to the Lord, the direction we need. We need to know this today. I'm glad that God gives us direction, but not only that, it's for you as a church. It is for me as an individual, and it's also for a family. That is, and praise ye the Lord. It starts on 147. It says the Bible puts more emphasis. Now, you may not understand this, but the Bible puts more emphasis on praise than it does on prayer. Prayer is a life and a breath of a Christian. Prayer asks God and receives things from God. But when you add praise, you add a form of worship to it. A form of worship today. A form of worship today. The practical reason for learning how to praise, because the Lord will keep you on keeping on. You want how to keep going? I'm going to tell you, when this world bogs you down, we don't know which way to turn. We don't know how bad our economy is going to get. We don't know who's going to lose our jobs. We don't know what's going to happen in our country. But I'm going to tell you what, praising God will keep you keeping on, because it turns praise and prayer into worship. And that's what we need to do. We don't just need to come out here and just meet and have a few songs and go back home. We need to have a worship service. I hope you're here today to worship Jesus Christ. It's not me, the speaker, that's up here today. It's Jesus Christ. I'm speaking from His Word. I'm speaking from His Spirit. I'm speaking from the power of God Almighty, that we need to worship God to understand who God is. And the reason we have a problem in this country, because we don't understand who God is. And we have not reverenced God for what God has done for us in this country. We have not reverenced God for what God has done in your family. We have not reverenced God for what God has done in our person this day. We have not reverenced God for life, health, and breath, and strength, and everything else that God gives us each day. We ought to praise God. To start with, number one, I'm fixing to get into my sermon. Y'all ready? I'm fixing to get started. I hope you write these down. To start with, praise. And what does praise do? Praise reverence God. Verse 1. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant, and praise ye humbly, means beautifully. It is a praise, a command, because God created everything, and everything praises Him. In Psalm 145 and verse 10 it says, all thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. In Revelation 4 and 8 it says, and the four beasts, and each of them had six wings about him, and they all full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, holy, 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 the Lord God Almighty, which was, which is, and which is to come. I'm going to tell you, praise. Begin to reverence God Almighty. Do you know who God is this morning? The God of the universe. I'm going to tell you, the God that sent His Son down to die that you might have life and have it abundantly and have it eternally this day. The God Almighty that threw the stars into the heavens. The God Almighty that caused the sun to shine each day. The God Almighty has let you breathe this very hour. The God Almighty that gave you enough of breath and strength to get out of bed this morning. The God Almighty that heals you when you're sick. The God Almighty that answers your prayer. The God today, what praise do? Praise God because it reverence God this day. The angels in heaven praise God. All human beings should praise God this day. All the animal life that they can't worship, but they can praise God in their natural environment. All the universe praise His dear name. Praise the precious name of Jesus Christ. When a person curse God, you ever hear anybody curse God? We in a place today where nobody's not cursing God. But I'm gonna tell you, when you get out in the workforce, you get out of the schools or wherever you go at today, you'll find somebody is using a language to curse God. I mean, when they curse God, use profanity today, what they're doing is degrading God. Because, you see, they're not praising. But what it is, whenever they degrading God and cursing God, use profane language, you know what they're doing? They're bringing Him down. But when you praise, you're lifting God up. You're exalting God. The opposite of profanity and the profane is praise God. This week, how many times did you take the Lord's God name in vain? Probably none of us did. None of us probably took the Lord's name in vain. Probably nobody didn't curse, as we call it this day. Probably none of us done that. But I'm going to tell you, I want to ask you a more serious question. How many times did you praise God this week? How many times did you praise God this week? Praise God this week. How many times? How many times? Yes, it's a sin to use God's name in vain, but it's also a sin not to praise a God that brought life into your very nostrils this day and keeps you living every day. It's a sin not to praise the God Almighty today. This week we need to praise God. You praise God, you're in direct proportion to what you think about God. If you have not praised God this week, you know what that means? It means that God was not worth very much to you this week. Are you praising God today? Look at the many people this day. It's not here this day praising God. The so-called Christian today, the ones been born again and baptized in the same pool today, where are they at today? They're not out cursing God. I don't believe they're cursing God today, but they're sinning because they're not praising God for the very life that God gave them and allowed them to walk on this ground that's called His, to drink His water and to breathe His air and to eat His food today and put clothes on their back. It's all of God, and they're not here praising God. They're not worshiping God. They're sinning against God because they're not worshiping God. You say, I don't need a church. Well, I'm going to tell you what, you ought to call God a liar to His face if you don't need a church. If there's a born again believer today, it's been born again by the very precious blood of Jesus Christ, and every person ever say they don't need a church, they ought to call Jesus Christ a liar in the holy book of God, a liar, because God set up these churches for you to come and worship and praise and lift up the name of Jesus Christ together as a whole today. And the more people we hear today, the more power, the more praise, and the more songs we sing to lift up the name of Jesus Christ. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Where is those people at today? They're not cursing God, but they're not praising God either today. And what's wrong with our country today? We're not praising God. We have not reverenced God, and we should reverence God today. That's exactly what's wrong with us today. We're not reverencing God. Worship means worth. How much is Jesus worth to you today? Not enough to get out of bed and come to God's house and give Him a portion of your time. He's not worth very much to many people today. I'm going to tell you that. And why do we expect to have anybody in the president and leading this country any better than what we got? How do we expect God to bless a nation when God called people and don't believe Jesus Christ is worth enough to give Him 1 hour on Sunday morning? And I ought to be a great amen here in this church today. It reverence God. I want to tell you praise reverence God. But I'm going to tell you praise refreshes the saints. Joy of the Lord is my strength. That's the reason I'm here on Sunday morning. It's certainly not preaching. That's here I'm on Wednesday night because I get refreshed. Are you missing Wednesday night? What's your excuse for not praising God on Wednesday night? You and your children today. Preacher, you're getting mighty personal today. Well, I want to. But I want to tell you, I hope God gets more personal than I do. How about the people that's living in your house today? I'm going to tell you, it's a time of refreshing. In the same psalmist now, 147, 2 and 3, it says, the Lord do build up Jerusalem. He gathers together the outcasts of Israel. He healeth the broken heart and bindeth up their wounds. Boy, this is refreshing, the wounds. Have you ever been sick? Have you ever been sick? You ever been in a hospital? Anybody in here ever been in sick and been in a hospital? Oh, I want to tell you, he binds up the broken heart. All the sorrow that we have. Anybody ever had any death and you know the loneliness in your heart that only God can feel? Anybody ever been in this position? Anybody ever been down and out and you thought you could not make it in the sickness, laying on a hospital bed somewhere? Anybody ever been in that condition today? Didn't know if you was going to make it or not. How about your family, your loved ones, your boys and your girls? How about this today? Are we worried about them? God said He healed the broken heart. I'm going to tell you, when we get together, you know the power of God. You start praising God. Maybe sometimes it's your child is sick. Sometimes you're going the wrong way. Might be cancer. Might be sickness. You start praising God. And I'm going to tell you, a great relief will come over you. And they'll be refreshing to the saints because you're praising God. Because He deserves all of our praise today. I'm going to tell you, He's the one that deserves our praise today. Because Christians need to learn how to praise today. Why? Because we are self-centered and not God-centered today. God made us where we'd be God-centered, but we're not God-centered. We are selfish people. We're born with a fallen nature. I told you, come from way back in Genesis chapter 25, that fallen nature, it fights against that spiritual nature. But we have this self-centered nature this day. When self-centered become deficiency, it means that we control ourselves and not God. Now, if we think about this, when we get self-centered, our God is on the throne, and this life, we start defending our God. But when you get self-centered, I want to tell you what, you get very defensive. People now that say it's very defensive, I say, hey, now, you know, I like to see you in church Wednesday night. Yeah, but I got something else I got to do. I got an excuse there. And then you start explaining to the Word of God, they already know, and they'll start making excuses. They've got excuses for not worshiping God. Why? Because their God is on the throne of their life, and they're going to fight to keep that God there. They get very defensive. They're self-centered people, and they're not God-centered people. Everybody here this hour, if you had God center, you wouldn't have to worry about being defensive. And when they don't serve God, they don't have any business with God. I'm going to tell you, if they are a child of God, they're self-centered and not God-centered, and they're going to fight. They're going to be defensive against anything or anybody says. That preacher says, you got to come to church. Nobody hadn't got to come to church. Nobody. That's not in God's vocabulary. I'm going to tell you, you're to want to come to church. If you don't want to come to church, there's something wrong. I'm telling you today, there's something wrong. And they get very defensive, and you try to tell them, you know what, they need a church. And now you tell them, they say, hey, you know what, you ought to be there because, you see, you're setting an example for your little boys and your little girls. You ought to be at church. And they get very defensive. And you say, you know what, Christian people ought not to be taking a drink of liquor, you know, and you're not being these social drinkers. And they get very defensive. You say, you know, ought not to gamble. It's against the Word of God to gamble. They get very defensive because you see, they got their God, and they're self-centered of their life, and they're not God-centered. And then they get hostile. Boy, when you tell them this, they get hostile. Man, I'm going to tell you, then they feel like they're being under attack, and they get aggressive, and then they start striking out. They're self-centered, and they become very destructive. And you know what's wrong with them? They get destructive until they finally destroy themselves. And then the third thing, praise is a release of faith. Now, without faith, it says in the Word of God, it's impossible to please God. Praise is a vitamin shot that gives your faith what it needs. In verse 4, 5, and 6, in this same chapter we'll read, it says, now, he tells or counteth this number of stars. He calls them all by name. Great is our God, and great power he have understood is the innumerable. I want to tell you, he counts the stars. Faith is that part of, that produces our praise. This is our Father's world. I'm going to tell you, he knows all the stars and the hairs upon your head. Praise, praise ye, praise ye. As we come along, but you see now, praise reflects our thankfulness. Praise reflects our thankfulness. The sin of ingratitude across our country and across the day, United States family members today, mothers and fathers, are you really thankful? I'm going to tell you what, if you are thankful, you will praise the God if you're thankful. That shows were you thankful or not. If you'll praise God and you will worship him. Praise him. You got anything to praise God for? 7, 8, and 9 it says, sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise unto harps unto our God, who covers the heavens with clouds, who prepareth the rain for the earth, who hath made grass to grow upon the mountain. He giveth to the beasts the food and to the young ravens which cry. He furnishes everything. God gives everything richly for us to enjoy. Did you know this day we have a fall of the year? You know, there's a lot of places don't have a fall of the year, don't have springtime. Way down in South Florida and way down in Texas, they don't have a springtime because it's hot most all the time. Way down there in Mexico, Central America, they don't have a springtime. Did you know a springtime is a very, very beautiful time? We live in the garden part of the world. I'm telling you, when springtime comes, you see the flowers begin to bud out and the birds begin to sing. You know, some people don't ever get to see this because they live in areas where there's no springtime. But that's resurrection. God's blessed you by allowing you to have a springtime that you can see the resurrection of Jesus Christ. God blessed us here, right here in this area. Man, I'm going to tell you, it's good. We don't praise God if we could praise God, but what we will do, we'll grumble. Boy, it's been too hot. Woo! It's been too hot, been too dry. It might get too cold. It might get too wet. It's got too wet for a lot of people, hasn't it? I'm telling you, it got too wet for a lot of people. We'll grumble, you know, everything is too high, this is too high, that's too high. Everything's too high. I heard a man went to the grocery store, and he had a whole big old grocery sack full of money. He come back home with a bill full of groceries. We'll grumble about prices, won't we? Me and Brother Marshall was talking the other day, we're getting stronger in our older age. When me and Marshall first got married, we got talking, we can go in a grocery store with a $20 bill. It'd take two armloads to bring the groceries out. We go in a store with $20, now you take it in one hand. Me and Marshall's getting stronger. Any of y'all? I'm telling you, we grumble about what it costs in this country. And it is, it does cost a lot in this country. But in Russia, one of the more leading countries, not even the third world country, but in Russia, it'd have to take 1 hour of their wages to buy one loaf of bread. In the United States, it takes 6 minutes of our labor to buy one loaf of bread. In Russia, it takes 1 hour and 11 minutes to buy one quart of milk. United States, it takes 9 minutes of our labor. We throw away enough in this country to feed another nation. And most of us do. Most of us do. Most of us do. If we don't have anything to praise God for, we ought to praise God for what we have not received. Because I have not received God's judgment. I know what I deserve. If I don't have anything else to praise God for what he's gave me, I ought to praise him for what he have not gave me. And not only that, I'm going to tell you, it resists the enemies. Resist the enemies. Because it says in 10, 11, and 12, God don't look at horses, don't look at manpower, but it's God power. Who's going to lead this country? God's going to lead this country. It's all about praise and about prayer. All about praise and about prayer. Psalm 22 says, God inhabits the praise of his people. Satan cannot live in an attitude of gratitude. He cannot live. You know, now, Miss Margot, if she feels like it, we're going to sing a song. I know I went long, and I ought to go a lot longer. Some people's mad right now because I'm going over, and guess what? I don't even care. Get mad and fire me if you want to. But I'm going to tell you, we're spending more time praising and worship God if we want this country to ever be like it was. You know, Miss Margot is planning going to the hospital tomorrow, but she is graciously says she's going to try to sing How Great They Are. And we thank her for trying to do this and help her out because she's a little bit hoarse. And she's going into the hospital tomorrow. But we all going to stand at this time. And we're going to honor Jesus Christ in this great song. Here's a flag of the United States that many people has died on foreign countries to make sure that you and I have the freedom to stand here this morning and sing Almighty God the glory to the name of Jesus Christ. How great thou art. How great thou art. Thank you, Jesus Christ.